Blog Talk Radio.
I've passed 3 certification exams using IT Pro TV, and I'm taking my 4th on Monday. I love you guys.
You guys are great. I've passed the Microsoft 7410 and the first Cisco CCNA exam because of your videos, and I plan on doing the same with 7411 and the second Cisco CCNA exam.
You guys are doing an outstanding job. Keep up the great work. Thank you for making complex technical topics easily understandable.
Thank you for bringing fun back to learning IT-related topics.
These are real quotes from actual IT Pro TV members. I'm Dom Pizzette, one of the trainers here at IT Pro TV, and I'd love to show you how we can impact your life too. Whether you're looking to advance your career with new IT certifications or simply want to stay up to date on the latest in the world of technology, we've got you covered. Check out itpro.tv/blogtalk to upgrade your brain with the most popular IT certifications. Try it free for 7 days when you sign up with our code ITPRO30 to check out our courses, live stream, and more. You'll also receive 30% off the lifetime of your account. That's itpro.tv/blogtalk.
Blog Talk Radio.
The road to Damascus speaks to the heart of a man or woman who, after having been exposed by the truth, is now accountable to God and man for accepting the mantle of suffering and tribulation promised to us as believers. No matter what you do, God will encounter you on that road and ask you the same question he asked Saul: why do you persecute me? Tonight, on Pathways to Truth Radio, the Romans Road versus the Damascus Road. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to Pathways of Truth Radio. I'm your host, Nick Danger. And joining me tonight are my two favorite brothers on the planet. As usual, riding on the wheels of steel, Brother Frank Billions. Brother Frank, we've been away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, man, we've been away for a couple of weeks, man. But I'm glad to be back, man, on the wheels of steel, man. On the pathways to truth, bro. On the pathways to truth. You know what I mean?
I'm excited.
I'm excited, Nick.
And also, we have a special guest joining us from the La País de Colombia. Señor Fuego. John Aguadelo. Brother John, how you doing this evening? Well, he must not be teed up, but he's definitely on. Well, he might be able to join us. But Brother Frank, let me tell you this. I've been chomping at the bit to there he is. Brother Fuego.
He needs to take it.
Aguadelo. No, he's there. No, it ain't muted. I think he just chimed in. Brother Fuego, you there? Well, we're going to keep going. He'll speak up. Just speak up whenever you let. Just interrupt me whenever you get on. I've been chomping at the bit, man, about this subject. Man, I've seen so much that verifies this Roman road versus the Damascus road and why the Damascus road is the road less traveled.
it definitely separates the boys from the men. Definitely.
Yes, sir. I know that you had told me that you have been having some dialogue with Fuego and a few other brothers over the last couple of weeks. So I wanted you to let me just lay this quick foundation. I want you to jump right in, okay?
All right, let's do it.
I was thinking about this. You know, we talked about this Damascus Road has been a central theme and mandate for several years, and because it unveils the heart of a man. That adversity is the thing we have most in common with Christ Jesus that is not preached a lot from pulpits because, of course, adversity is not popular. As adversity is most people shun away, but it's the It's the tool that God uses to create character and build character and build holiness and build righteousness in a man or a woman who has made a conscious decision to enter into the kingdom. And so tonight we want to contrast the Romans Road, how it's used, and also talk about the Damascus Road and why the Damascus Road is the road of choice, is the road that he sent Christ Jesus down, and every other great man or woman. Now, keep in mind, now the Damascus Road is not a physical place. The Damascus Road is a spirit. Take it away, Brother Frank.
Man, I'm glad you clarified that and laid the foundation for that, man, and help our listeners right off the bat to understand that it's a spirit. And when you're going down that Damascus Road, you will run into the Lord God. See, you're not going to find him on that Romans Road in order to find the Lord God and come face to face with who you really dealing with. You got to understand that you're going to have to make a detour and travel down a road that's less traveled, that nobody really want to go down. Do you know them roads, Nick, that when you turn down, there's no lights in there?
Yes, sir.
And the road is narrow, Nick. It's one way in.
Yeah.
It's a narrow road that you travel. So down this narrow path, most folks don't want to travel down this narrow road.
No, sir.
Because, Nick, let me say this right off the bat. Christ that Saul ran into on the Damascus Road, he wasn't the same guy that they talk about in church. See, you run into the belligerent Christ.
Amen.
Okay, let me say this right quick, man, because Fuego and I talked about this, man, you know. And the revelation I got from this, Nick, is that this Christ Jesus that Saul ran into absolutely brought fear into his heart.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Look, he didn't run into the nice Jesus. He ran into the resurrected Christ.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. See, folks want to know the Christ before the resurrection. They don't understand and try to seek after godliness to understand the resurrected Christ, the one that you don't really want to be in his presence when he come back.
If you ain't living right.
if you're not living right, you don't want to come face to face with this cat. And as a believer, I understand who Paul ran into on that road. Because, see, each one of us had to travel that road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I ran into the resurrected Christ on the Damascus Road, I ran into the guy that not only could kill my body, he could straight snatch my soul out.
Wow.
I ran into that guy.
Yeah.
I ran into that guy who showed me that he was the destroyer of my soul. Look, Nick, fear came in. See, before that, I wasn't really afraid of Christ, the Jesus that they were telling me about, because I was still doing what I did, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But when I ran into him, and he said, look, man, what you think you're doing, man? Who you think you are? That's the guy you fall down on your face.
Yes.
You don't really want to face this guy, Nick, what I'm saying.
I hear you loud and clear. Oh, my goodness. So, Frank, let me ask you a real quick question. Keep going. Don't worry about the time. I'm just flowing with the spirit. No agenda. But I do want to ask you specifically, this Christ that you encountered, as well as the one that Saul met on the road to Damascus, that wasn't the Lamb of God, was it?
No, that wasn't the Lamb.
I'm just checking to make sure.
Nick, I promise you, he was a full-grown lion of Judah.
I just figured I'd provoke you a little bit then.
I met the King of Praise.
Wow.
So when I met this cat, I realized, Nick, that when you travel this path, and if you make it through, see, look, Nick, I was focusing on the Paul after the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes, sir.
See, listen, it's a difference. He's a different person after the encounter. He's a person that knows that, look, man, you don't have a choice but to do what the Lord God told you to do.
That's it.
That, and I submit to you this right here, Nick. That didn't lead him back to the pews. See, I realized that the Romans Road, Fuego helped me with this yesterday as we were talking. It led me to a dead end right to the pews.
That's it. Oh, my God. Hey, would you mind if I ask Brother Fuego to kind of expound on that concept a little bit? And then you come back, Frank. You guys are doing great. What were you thinking when the Holy Spirit revealed that to you, Brother Fuego, about that road being a dead end, leading you right straight to the pew? That is powerful, that, man.
Well, I mean, Brother Frank has always, the Spirit was speaking to him, and as he was speaking to him, all that I saw was, you know, when you got to I was telling him, you know, when you're going down the road and then you see the road and a little, on the sign of the road, whatever name is, and on the bottom says dead end. And you don't pay attention, and you turn into it, and you go, and man, it's a dead end. That's what I saw when Frank said that.
That's what he saw as I was laying this thing out to him about the Romans Road. See, the Romans Road was the pastor trying to get me to come in front of the church and recite Romans 10:9 so that I may be saved. And when I get saved, I can sit right there in the pew, and that's the end.
That's it.
Wow.
Well, I realized, Nick, as I have matured in Christ, and I done grown up and graduated from church school, right? I realized that, okay, that guy that I really met on the Romans Road was an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was, I call him instead of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, this guy was actually the Antichrist in disguise.
Mm.
Because this guy, the enemy wants you to be found in church. That's where he wants you at, because he knows this is a dead end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is a powerful revelation, man.
Yeah.
That is a powerful revelation.
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
See, Nick, you will never seek after godliness sitting in the pews.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, you won't even travel down the, get to the point where you travel down a Damascus Road.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's good. See,
yeah.
let me, if I can interject something, I saw this because, see, we hear this, we've heard this say 1,000 times, but I've never had a pastor or a preacher ever explain this. Now, listen to this, it's very, very important. Okay, so we know that Saul was on the road to Damascus. Remember, he was, the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 that he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Okay, listen, he was breathing threats and murder. Paul was killing Christians.
Uh-huh. Just,
that's a plain English, okay? He was binding them, taking them back to Jerusalem, and they was killing them. Okay,
yeah.
I can't make it any plainer than that, okay? Y'all got that. Pathways of Truth Radio Nation, y'all hear what I'm saying. Okay, so then he even got letters authorizing this activity from the synagogues all throughout Damascus. The letters gave him the authority to go get these people. Anybody who, see, they didn't call them Christians back then. They called them followers of the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Followers of Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Okay. So followers of the way, whether they were men or women. Listen, I want to give you a snapshot. I'm laying the foundation because what I'm about to say is going to blow your mind. Because what Jesus said to him, I've never heard anybody explain to me what the Holy Spirit gave to me just today. Okay, so I'm talking about today. So
yeah.
Paul went to Damascus, and the Bible says when he came near Damascus, now he hadn't made it all the way in. Listen closely. He hadn't made it all the way to Damascus. He was on the road. Okay, man, I'm going to slow down. I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
Get excited. Okay. He wasn't in Italy. So it wasn't the Romans road.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Christ was in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Okay. In Damascus, actually in Syria. But listen, the light shone, as Brother Frank said earlier. He knew right away he wasn't encountering the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of his mouth he said, he heard a voice say to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Yeah.
And then then Saul said, who are you, Lord?
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait a minute. How did he know he was speaking to the Lord?
Yeah.
Listen, before he hit the ground, he was blind.
That's right.
Okay. Then the Lord said, in a way you can't miss it, he said, I am Jesus. I can't go too fast. This is real good. Okay. He answered. They're having this conversation now. But he can't see.
That's right.
Okay, listen. He took away his sight. Faith cometh by hearing.
That's it.
try to contain yourself. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
He took away his sight. He took away his sight so he could hear.
That's right.
Because in the spirit realm, you hear. You see with your ears.
Man, that's good. That's good.
In the spirit realm, you see with your ears. Okay, he said, now hear me. He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Then he said this is the key. Jesus said right after that, he identified himself. He said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How many times have we heard that, but nobody's ever explained it? Let me tell you what's going on. Watch this. Watch what happened. Kicking against the goads was a common phrase back then because they lived in an agricultural society. Okay, now watch this. And what happened is farmers used to hook up this contraption, usually oxes, pulling the plows out in the field.
Right.
Watch this. Goads were made from slender pieces of wood. They were blunt on one end and sharp or pointed on the other. So the farmers used the pointed end to urge a stubborn ox to move so he would pull the plow. You see
right.
them. Hannah, you guys are growing in the country. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay. Occasionally, the beast would kick at that goad.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, I'm not going to go. I'm almost done. The
go
beast
ahead.
Would kick at, listen, the goad was a point of pressure to
yeah.
get a stubborn ox to move in the direction that the farmer wanted it to go.
That's
wow.
it.
Wow.
Okay, so Jesus is the farmer, and faith is the goad. Jesus said, it is hard for you to kick against faith. It is hard for you to resist faith. I am the one with the plow in my hand, and I am sticking you. I stuck you with blindness. I stuck you with the light. I knocked you off that horse. I got you in fear because you don't have faith. He said, listen, it is hard for you to kick against faith. Watch this. This is two more lines.
Go ahead.
So he said, this is Saul. So he said, trembling and astonished, Lord, what do you want me to do?
That's it.
Frank just said earlier, when you encounter this Christ, the one that Saul met on the road to Damascus, or the one that humbles us to the point where we are blinded
yeah.
by our own self-pity and sin, he said, I can't even look at you.
That's
but
right.
I know who you are because there's only one force that could bring me to this place. That can knock me off my high horse. Don't miss the metaphor here. He knocked
yes.
him off his high horse. See,
mm-hmm.
now everybody had a horse back then. A lot of people was walking.
Mm-hmm.
Most people walked. If you had to be wealthy and have a high position to ride on a horse.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul was on a horse. Look here. Then the Lord said to him, closely, folks, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Okay.
Mm.
Man, I'm almost out of breath. Look, watch this. He said, you can't kick against faith.
That's right.
You can't resist faith. Listen, after you have encountered the true and living God, it is impossible to resist him. I'm talking
that's
about
right.
a true encounter. That's what Jesus was saying. You stop. Don't waste your time being Saul anymore.
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you dabble in pornography anymore, Frank. John, I'm not going to let you beat your wife. I'm not going to let you become alcoholic. I'm not going to let you become an adulterer, Larry. Philip, I'm not going to let you steal anymore. I'm not going to allow you to do that. It's impossible for you to kick against the goal
mm-hmm.
because you've encountered me. And so much of this evangelism that we play around with, okay, Jesus is telling them plainly, when y'all was playing around out there, I wasn't there. I wanted to encounter you on my terms, on my road.
Yeah.
You see, this is the same road that I took to my execution.
Wow.
That's
beautiful.
Too much for you? So you know, this is real to me. This ain't no plaything. You're not going to see me on a paved highway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a rocky road with vandals and rough terrain and danger and wild animals, changing elevations. This is the road to the masses. It was not a straight road.
No.
You see. And so at the end of the day, what I'm saying, and I'm going to wrap it up so you guys can come on in. I don't mean to take this long, but it's such a powerful thing that the Holy Ghost has shown me. Saul's name means useless. in Hebrew, his name means useless. And the converted name that God gave him, Paul, that name means small. It's in the kingdom, everything is opposite.
That's right.
So Saul was large in the big scheme of things in terms of what he had done, but in his mind and in the mind of God, he was small because he's not bigger than the Lord God. None of us are.
That's right.
Okay, so y'all got the floor, man. I'm sorry. I'm done. I went a little longer than I anticipated.
Man, we appreciate that, man. That's right.
Right
there is a great segue into understanding what God does to get us to the point where we are absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, seeking after godliness. See, this guy, Saul, that you was talking about, this guy wasn't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
This guy brought fear into people. When they saw this guy coming, folks run into their houses.
Yes, sir.
This was a little okey-doke dude that was rolling up the road, man. This dude walked with, like you said, Nick, on his high horse with confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But I submit to you right now that he ran into the Lord God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The Lord God has a way to stop you dead in your tracks, bring the fear of death upon you to the point of death.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you got to hear what I'm saying. Dead folks can't see.
Wow.
See, Lazarus was in his grave dead, but although he was dead, because the Lord God was speaking, he could still hear.
Okay. Wow.
Because your faith comes by hearing.
That's beautiful right there.
Frank, don't go too fast, man. I'm about ready to throw up, man.
Man. Go ahead, man.
No, man, I don't want you to speak about that, man. You said Lazarus was dead, but he could still hear.
Yeah.
See, listen, that's why when we are asleep in our death state, our ears are still alert. We still can hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hearing that wakes you up. It's the hearing that is the key. The Romans road leads us to seeing with our eyes.
Mm.
Yes. Okay.
Wow.
It's a road. Listen, the Romans road, Nick, absolutely led me to a dead end.
Wow.
See, with this, what I realized this right here, man, we have nations and nations and nations of people, Nick, going into our churches, being taught by people who've never been down the Damascus Road.
Wow.
So what happens, Nick, they can never eat from the suffering.
No.
See, suffering. Down that Damascus road, Christ break you down, rightly divide you, and start feeding you to folks. Paul went to the folks who was hungry. That's why when you go to the church folks, see, they ain't hungry for the Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
They're not willing to eat his flesh and drink his blood.
Wow.
Oh man.
This is really good. I think that the contrast that we have of the men that witnessed this are common in the world. See, there was a group of men who were traveling with Saul,
mm-hmm.
his entourage, I'll call it, his road dogs.
Yeah.
See, they stood frozen, speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. When Saul got off the ground and his eyes were open, he saw no one.
Wow.
I said his eyes were open, but he couldn't see. Am I moving too fast?
No.
No.
Okay. So they had to lead this man by hand.
Uh-huh.
Okay, look. He ain't riding the horse no more.
No.
He walking, y'all. See, it's so much that you got to take your time with this word.
Yes.
There is so much that is inferred by the Spirit. In other words, it's a direct communication from those of us who read the Word of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like there's another, even though the words are not there, we're hearing the words. You don't see the words, but you hear the words. When I read the Word of God, the things that the Holy Spirit is saying to me are not in black and white.
That's right.
It's not on the page. Okay. The Romans road, the signs are clearly marked. They have their well-lit, smooth highways that lead to dead ends.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you something else the Holy Spirit showed me. After he got to Damascus, he was there 3 days without sight, and he couldn't eat or drink.
That's right.
Okay, listen. Again, folks fly over this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but after about 6 to 7 hours, I got to eat something. I ain't never went 3 days of my life without eating or drinking something. I can't even imagine what that must feel like.
Nick, thank you for pointing that out, man.
Okay. So now this man, everybody who knew who he was, Brother Frank just got finished telling us who Saul was, they have witnessed, a thing that they can't describe. The Bible says they were speechless.
Yes.
Being speechless means you speechless. but they saw, but they couldn't even talk.
No.
This man fall from his high horse, reduced to nothing. in their eyes, what could they go, okay, this is what Holy Spirit say. I'm asking my Pathways to Truth Nation. What did those men say that they saw? Because when they saw it, they were speechless.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you go and tell somebody what just happened to Saul?
Okay. Okay, that's the question. I want you to hold that question. Okay, now watch this. Okay. So now we always talk about this. The one thing I love about God, and I say this, as long as I have known him, he don't treat everybody the same, but he's always fair.
Yes.
See, if y'all look at a unilateral treatment, he treat Brother Frank better than he treat me, and he treat Brother Fuego better than me. Nah. He don't treat everybody the same. He got his favorites, whether y'all want to believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The book is full of it.
Yeah.
He got his favorites today in 2014. He got his chosen ones. He's got his remnant that he has given specific assignments to. Jerry, don't get upset with Brother Frank, because Brother Frank has a certain financial anointing, and you ain't going to be able to study no books.
Yeah.
You ain't going to be able to go to no seminars to get what he got.
That comes from the throne room of grace.
Don't look at Brother Fuego's gift to serve and be jealous and envious. You ain't going to be able to go to no classes to learn how to do that. That was deposited from the foundation of the world into this man's heart. So what I'm saying is that the God being the ultimate quantum mechanic, knowing how everything in earth and space and time moves, he had already assigned somebody to Saul.
Yes.
Okay, so Ananias goes to do what he does. I'm not going to, y'all read this story. I'm not going to go through the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
But the man had an assignment because the Lord went to him. And when the Lord called him, he answered, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight." Wait a minute. All of a sudden, the road to Damascus was treacherous. You got to read about the road to Damascus. Syria is not a flat place.
No.
She said, "Go to a street called Straight."
Yes.
Oh my goodness! The Straight is capitalized.
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks, this is Christ right here. Okay, Ananias, arise and go to Christ.
Yes.
And inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying.
Imagine to hear that.
Listen, man, with this encounter, I'm not going to go any farther with that. This is one of my favorite. I even wrote a book on this.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about the encounter, the goal of the encounter is to unveil the heart of a man. This is what the Holy Spirit told me when he came to me with this book. He said, "Look, we need to communicate something to rip away all of the garbage and the nastiness and the meanness and the wickedness out of the human heart. And the only way we can do that is by exposing a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, to the truth. The truth is Christ Jesus." Okay, so how does a man's heart become unveiled? The man becomes naked. The man gets stripped down to nothing in the presence of the Lord, because no man can stand. The Bible says no man can stand in the presence of God.
Yeah.
What that means is that no man can be his wicked self in the midst of a true encounter. And so when the Lord asked Saul the question, "Why do you torment me?" It was rhetorical. He knew the answer, but he wanted Paul to be able to verbalize it. Paul couldn't even answer him. Paul's response was brokenness. And that's what the Lord is looking for. He don't need you to say nothing.
No.
Oh Lord, I've been cheating on my wife for 20 years. You know all of that. He wants you to say, I'm here, Lord. What must I do?
Yeah.
And so too often Christians, not believers, but Christians become innocent bystanders on that Romans road and leave little or no impact on the lives of people they come in contact with. And the believer who is entrenched under the Damascus road is an active participant in the defense and demonstration of the gospel among God's people in the marketplace. I'm not talking about saved folk. I'm talking about everybody, all of the people that we meet are God's people, no matter which age, race, faith, whatever. They are still God's people. And we, our job as believers is to give them the true experience. Like Brother Frank talks about this holiness, this righteousness. This holiness ain't walking around with a white robe on and long flowing locks of our hair and that celestial music. Holiness is living a life of truth that's dedicated to the word of God and walking it out in real time.
That's exactly what the believer's walk is about.
Mm-hmm.
See, that faith that you was talking about, that he was kicking against, see, that faith is being led by the truth.
Yes,
man.
And the truth, as we said in times past, is invincible.
That's it.
So
when Paul came against the truth, he could not be against it. He could only be for it.
Yes.
He was stripped of everything that he thought he had in his mindset. Because when the truth showed up, in reality, spiritually, this guy was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This guy was arrested and became a prisoner of Christ.
My goodness.
I asked in the meditations, man, what in the world, how do the folks get stuck on the Romans road, man? How did they get to the dead end and not turn around and leave?
Yeah.
Listen, man, they get into the dead end and staying at the dead end. So I say, well, what's happening, God? And in the book of Hebrews, it tells us about folks stay at the elementary stage of Christ. They can't get past the elementary stage. Well, what I did some study on, Nick, is that at the elementary stage in the educational system, in the fifth and sixth grade is when it shows up in kids if they have a learning disability. Okay, listen. Folks have a learning disability.
Mm.
It's been revealed to us spiritually.
Yeah.
And look, they are being taught. The majority of them can't even get to the fifth and sixth grade to figure it out because they're being taught by primary school teachers.
Yeah. Wow.
Because they won't seek after the Lord God for themselves. So the Holy Spirit can help them and get them past the fifth and sixth grade in Christ so they can mature. Oh, man. So they stuck, Nick. They stuck, Fuego, in forever learning and never coming to the full knowledge of the truth.
Wow. Wow.
They're forever learning because they have a learning disability.
Yeah.
Stay below in Lodabar, the elementary stage in Christ. And then on top of that, our churches are filled with our women. So I was wondering, why are our churches filled with our women? Well, the Word of God says that because they are easily carried away.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the religious spirit can come into your home and take gullible women captive and lead them away. So what we have as men, you're going into the church filled with gullible women, and you're being taught by a woman teacher.
Wow.
Oh, you can't get to Christ that way.
So at the end of the day, what I hear you saying, just so we're clear, not that you're not clear to me, there might be some people that are reeling based upon because they're hearing gender.
Yes.
Yeah.
Frank's not talking about gender.
No.
He's talking about spirit.
That's right.
That's it.
Okay. The words that I speak are life, he says. They are life-producing spirits.
That's right.
The spirit that has captivated, that is captivated, placed us in the position of weakness, is that spirit of Eve. But there is a compatible spirit. In order for Eve to exist, there has to be a spirit of Adam.
Yeah.
So spirit of Adam and the spirit of Eve, they are compatible spirits. And those spirits together create a codependency on fear and weakness.
Hmm.
Brother Frank is saying in plain English that
yes.
The spirit of Adam and Eve has totally captivated and entrenched in many of our religious institutions and has caused a spirit of frailty and impotency.
Mm-hmm.
There's no power there. There's no, I've often heard him say, there's no, if you're impotent, you can't produce anything.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're sterile. You have no sperm.
That's right.
You're shooting blanks, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
At the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, the modern day institution does not have the ability to reproduce Christ in the earth because
wow.
of the spirit of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I might be wrong, but that's what I heard.
No, right on track. Go ahead, Fuego.
Oh, man, look. What you saw is what I saw when Brother Frank was talking about. It took me the form of his speech that he was saying, it drove me when he's talking about the church and how the women gullible, it took me right back to the garden. And
yes.
You said it so eloquent, Nick, because that's the truth. Look, all I hear in you guys is the spirit is so real. I was going to say this. The spirit, and that give you a perfect segue for this, because the spirit is so real. Because for those folks, those men who the spirit of God are touching are the ones who had come out of the church and had they got blind while they were there. They got hit with the light.
Yes.
When they came out and they started reading on their own, because Ananias came to them, and it says that the scale of his eyes fell off, that's where they realized their eyes were open, and they started seeing the truth, the real Christ, the living Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, what am I saying? What I'm saying is the spirit is so real that it will tap you on your shoulder. Look, you said it many times, Nick, that the spirit, God warned us.
Yeah.
We're dealing with it spiritually. The God warned us. It's not that somebody's going to come and tap on your shoulder. The spirit will let you know that God wants to talk to you, that God wants your attention. And he will do on any point in time, he will knock you off your horse so bad that it take you your blind, put your blind right off the spot.
Wow. Not to mention that God still smites people. He will still kill you. He will still kill. See, listen, folks, I this ain't popular preaching.
No.
I know it, but I don't care. This is the truth.
That's right.
If it weren't for Jesus, you got to get the real picture of this belligerent Christ, because he was not just belligerent in the natural realm. He was more belligerent in the spirit realm. Because it was only because of him that God didn't wipe the planet out again. See, God don't have no problem wiping the slate clear and starting over.
No,
because he's God, he can do that. He can do it. I mean, I'm sure there are many worlds that he has done that in, but the planet Earth, for a fact, there are three creation stories even before we get to Genesis 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't read your word and you don't read it slow, you're going to miss all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
We were just, I got to tell you a real quick funny story. I was watching Noah. My son rented the movie Noah, and he was sitting there looking at the movie, and he's like, man, this is, I said, the movie's straight garbage. I told him that the movie was garbage because Hollywood can't make no spiritual movie.
Uh-huh.
No. It wasn't even entertaining because I got to say this because this is important, because this is how images dictate people's thoughts. Noah building the ark, and I started laughing when I saw it, because they had scaffolding all up around it. I said, man, there was no scaffolding back then. I said, they had these, the giants, instead of just saying it was giants there, because the Bible has, it's in the Bible, the giants were there, the sons of Anak and whatnot. Okay, those are giants. So giants helped Noah build this ark.
Yeah.
So I was telling my wife and my son that, they kind of raised their eyebrows and looked at me like, I said, listen, they can't put in that movie right there that there was giants helping Noah build the ark and it emptied out that movie there.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make money. They ain't interested in teaching people anything, people learning the truth. And that's so much of what happens today is that, giants, existed. But we read about it, and we just poo-poo over it in the Word of God. There's giants all in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And, I mean, these are real, I mean, listen, they're finding bones with people that were like 12, 13, 14 feet tall, 20 feet tall, 30 feet tall, bigger than that.
Yeah.
But they calling them dinosaur bones. Because they know y'all can't handle it. That's all I'm saying. I'm done for it. They call them dinosaur bones, Frank, because they know that if you said, this right here is a femur of a 55-foot dude.
Yeah.
Ain't going to fly.
They're like, come on, man. He's crazy. But in the Word of God, the bed of Om, his bed, if you factor it out, his bed was 17 feet long. Who needs a 17 foot long bed?
Yes.
And 15 feet wide. Who needs a bed that big if you ain't that tall? I'm done.
It's
just funny to me, Anima.
You know, man, in this, we're trying to help Pathway to True Nations to seek after godliness, walk after the Spirit, mature and grow up in Christ. It's more than what you're being told. As a matter of fact, the Word of God tells us, don't even listen to them dudes. Listen, God the Father, listen, man, he was so adamant about this that he brought Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Look, and when they showed up, when Christ, Elisha, and Moses showed up there with them. And, listen, he was so belligerent about it, he said, don't listen to Pastor Moses and the law. Don't listen to Prophet Elijah and the prophet. Here is my dear son. Hear him.
Wow.
Look, man, he told Peter, James, and John that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what he did. It's right there.
We still, in our elementary learning disability state, where we think we got to go to another man and try to learn God's word.
My goodness.
And you got these carnal men trying to teach your spirit, the spirit, and how you going to teach it without the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Nick, no way you getting the revelation that you getting from going and sitting and looking to a pastor.
Wow.
No way, man. No. No. That, listen, the material, the material world exists for one reason, and that is for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Frank called it the God class.
Yeah.
Okay, the God class, the Bible says that promotion only comes from God. So only God can promote you to the God class, and the God class is the spiritual realm, simply speaking. That this is not Frank's words, these are mine, but this is what I took away from him teaching us about the God class, is that there are no limitations.
That's right.
In the God class. Now, that's physical, spiritual, mental, there's no limitations because you are with God. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. So that means that there's no limitations. But those that come to him must know that he is God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what the Bible also says, and we don't hear that a lot. But that's the rest of the scripture. Go ahead, brother friend.
Nick, I'm glad you just said that, man, because that right there sums up the Damascus Road.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The Lord God absolutely changed Paul and took off all limitations.
Yeah.
He brought that dude straight into the God class.
Yes, he did.
And took off all limitations. Who can stand against this dude?
Wow,
I get
that's the believer's walk.
Yeah.
That from Paul, we still today eating from this dude's suffering.
Yeah.
I love that. I really do that.
It's true.
It's just an amazing tale of fear that turns into faith. Frank, you said something so powerful. That Paul was not afraid. Yeah. Saul was not afraid, I should say. Saul was not afraid. And he went from just straight anarchy. Another word to use. He just was straight chaos and mayhem and murder and threats, the Bible says. He went from that to becoming one of the preeminent men to teach and preach the gospel of freedom and peace.
Wow.
You really got to read. There's several books. You just got to read them out there, really, because the Bible kind of just really gaze over what Paul was doing. And what, Fuego, I'm going to mute you until you get Fido under control. And, but his amazing journey is I admire it so much because there's bits and pieces. It's kind of fragmented when, you know, you kind of take all of what he encountered for the gospel. It's a compelling story.
Yes.
And but it's true because he embraced it. He embraced it. We talked about, we did a show a couple months ago, this thorn in the flesh. He embraced it, the adversity. It, God told him that I understand it's tough, but, you know, my grace is sufficient. We could do a whole other show on that.
Yes, sir.
That right there, just that one word, that one phrase, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
And this ain't the churchy version of it. I think we're going to do that, Brother Frank. I think I'm going to go ahead and put that on out there. We're going to do a show on that in the next, you know, couple, 3 weeks, what about God's grace and what that really looks like. It ain't what is being taught, that's for sure. There's no guarantees. What I'm saying is that he's going to take it off you. Whatever's on you, you may just die with it.
That's right.
And as he said, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least you ain't dead.
That's right.
Brother Frank,
sir.
I want you to take us home. Give us your conclusion. Matter of fact, Fuego, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Brother Fuego, give us your conclusion for tonight on the Romans Road versus the Masters Road, and I'm going to let Brother Frank take us home. If you have one. If you don't, that's something.
I can.
Brother. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, Brother Frank.
Wrap
this up.
What I love about this comparison, in the time that I spend with you brothers, I understand now the maturity between believers and how the Holy Spirit works among us once we come together in fellowship, and how the Holy Spirit speaks. When we was on the Roman road, we could never get to this point where we can just bask and just be in tune and in connection with the Holy Spirit. So I thank God for putting me together with fellow guys that I know that done travel down the Damascus Road, because I know your talk and I know your walk and I know your faith and I know the truth that you're seeking. That pathway is narrow. The Romans Road is wide. That road led me to a dead end, right there to the pew. I had to get past the pew and get onto the Damascus Road so I can run into the living and true God that will be able to change my life and sustain my life. So I thank him for the maturing process. I thank you, Brother Nick, for your book, The Road to Damascus. If any of y'all do not have that book, The Road to Damascus by Nicholas Carl Moore, go on our website, go on lulu.com and pick up that book.
Amen.
And get more insight on this road. I thank y'all, man, tonight. And thank everyone for listening.
Praise God.
Amen.
Brother Frank, mm-hmm. Brother Fredo, I thank you very much for you guys sowing this life, just sowing life into our listeners, and please tune in next week. Please go to our archive and listen to the Mandate Ministries Uncut series, and of course the Pathways to Truth Radio. We are just so excited about this teaching ministry. The things that God is showing us it just blows my mind, man. To hear the stuff to come out of you brothers every week, it's just crazy. And you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, God, who could want to be doing anything else other than this in fellowship with the Lord God.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
Listen, we say it every week, man. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Share the radio ministry with a friend. If you have any ideas or thoughts, please email us at info@mandateministries.com. Go to our website, mandateministries.com. If you're interested in purchasing Brother Frank's book, you can go to Brother Frank has a website. He's also on our Mandate Ministry site. You can just click on his name, and it'll take you right to his website. FrankBillions.com, that's FrankBillions, Frank Billions. And, of course, my website is NicholasCarlMoore.us. And we got 10 books coming out of Brother Fuego. We just got to twist his arm and get him to sit down for 5 minutes and write what the Lord God has given him. So I'm speaking life into him as well. So, hey, listen, we love you. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Have an awesome week in the Lord. Read your word and read it slow.
Learn to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school champion, Paris Bear Spots, in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now at Workship. So you need to patch those bear spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that are even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.